Chapter 17. The little cantina here is less a bar and more a ragtag collection of debris and detritus. The crew sits under mesh netting in an alcove formed by old junk, the war-scorched foot of an AT-AT walker. A stack of tire treads looped end over end. Crates whose lids are pulled back just enough to reveal the haunted, dead eyes of forgotten, deactivated droids. They sit, and they watch the man known as Han Solo. When they saw him on that plateau, he was barely recognizable. A scruffy beard made it hard enough, but then he was dressed in a set of ratty rags. Rags, Jazz realized later, that matched the color of the thirst grass. Smart. His hair is longer, too. Shaggier. Unkempt. Here now, Jazz recognizes in him that smuggler's lean. An easy swagger that the man doesn't have to try to manifest. It's just part of who he is. Part of that bona fide Han Solo charm. He's certainly handsome. A boyish rogue. Jazz would, given half an invitation, mount him like a turret. Though here her mind wanders to Jom. That coward, she thinks. She tries to make her fury at the old commando burn hotter than it does. She fails, and misses Jom Burrell regardless. Solo sits back, arm over an empty chair. There's something else there. Something beyond his swagger and his charm. And her shared looks with Sinjir tell her that he sees it too. Solo is on edge. He's wary, but a smuggler is always wary. This is different. Han Solo is angry. And not just at them, she thinks. The Bith bartender shuffles up, his one leg little more than a crudely fashioned metal prosthetic, and pops glasses in front of all of them. Kurva. The stuff Sinjir was talking about. The smell coming off the glasses is enough to fry an astromech circuits. The vapor blurs the air above the liquid. The Bith sets one down in front of Temin, and Jazz watches Nora rescue the glass before the boy can grab it. He pouts in response. When the Bith is gone, Solo regards them.
Who are you? And what do you want with Golos Aram?
The crew shares uncomfortable looks. It's Nora who speaks up.
We're not interested in Aram. We're looking for you.
It takes a moment for that to register on his face. He laughs then, though no mirth dwells in the sound.
Well, congratulations, lady. You found me. You can collect your prize at the door.
He clears his throat.
On your way out, if you get my meaning.
You are our prize, Jazz says.
His hand is no longer on top of the table. She knows he's going for his blaster. The others don't get it. They don't understand that he'll clear them with his DL-44 before they even think to unsnap their own holsters. Probably a good idea to get ahead of that.
We're not bounty hunters,
Jazz says, holding up both hands, palms out, a sign of acquiescence and surrender. Sinjir wrinkles his brow.
Jazz, you are a bounty hunter.
Shut up, Sinjir.
Han's gaze flits from each to each.
Who sent you?
You know who,
Nora says.
There.
That wariness, that anger, that edge. It softens and dulls. Just for a moment. Like a mask sliding away, showing his true face. He says what he surely already knows.
Leia.
Your last transmission ended abruptly. She thinks something happened to you.
It did. I was on my way here and crossed paths with a slave hauler run by the Dodoth Raiders. Without Chewie in the co-pilot seat, I missed that they were coming up on me fast. And they fired on me and took out my comm array. Again.
You could have found a way to contact her.
He hesitates. Nora fills in the blank.
You didn't want her to come after you.
Of course not. I got my things to take care of, and she has her things. And then, when all that shakes out, I'll go back.
You have things to take care of back home, too.
A moment passes between him and Nora with that exchange. She struck a nerve. Jazz wonders if the woman is playing a dangerous game. Solo is angry, and anger is irrational. Here is a man backed into a corner, pinned down by his debts. Nora says,
"We'll help you find your Wookiee."
"He's not my Wookiee. Nobody owns Chewbacca. You can be sure of that, sister."
And once again, that war plays out across his face. A softness and a sadness give way to fresh anger. Han suddenly takes his glass and pitches it over the small wall of junk. Somewhere in the distance, a faint sound of glass breaking.
"I screwed up! And now Chewie is gone."
His guard drops. He breaks down. Solo tells the story.
"A little something came across our dash. An opportunity. And no, before you go looking at me like that, not a smuggler's opportunity, but a real one. The kind that matters. Chewie and me, we've been kicking around now for a long time. He's my partner. He's not just some sidekick. He's not a pet. And he's damn sure not my slave. It's equal between us. We always split everything. You understand? We split our share of every job. We split our share of the injuries, too. And sometimes we take on each other's burdens. He's a Wookiee, right? Kashyyyk, that's where he comes from. That's his home. But it's not his anymore. I've been there. I've seen what the Empire has done. They ripped down the trees. They put cuffs and collars on all the Wookiees. Some of them they cut open. Others they ship off to work the worst jobs the Empire has on offer. They took his home from him. I can't abide that. I don't have a home anymore besides the Falcon. But him, he does. And he deserves to go home. He has a family too, you know. I saved him. At least that's what he says. A big fuzzy fool. But really, he saved me. I was on a bad path. And Chewie, he put me straight. Saved my shanks more than once, too. He said it was part of some life debt. He has a word for it. But if I try to say it in his tongue, I'll probably strain something. Even if I can't say it, I know what it means. It means that he owes his life to me. But that's a hot cup of bantha spit is what it is. He doesn't owe me. I owe him. I got a debt to Chewie to get him his home back. So when this chance came up, I leapt at it. The rebels, or the Republic, or whatever they want to call themselves, they didn't want any part of it. I made it clear we need to make Kashyyyk a priority. But they waved me off. Not strategically significant, they said. Not yet. Soon. Blah, blah. Bureaucracy and strategy and war planning. They made me a general, but I didn't know a thing about any of that. I don't follow what's on some schematic. I follow what's in here, in my gut. My gut always knows the way. Or so I thought. I leapt at the chance, but didn't look first. Imra, the smuggler who presented this little gift-wrapped opportunity, turns out she was on the wrong side of things. The Empire must have had something on her. And she set up this trap for me. Not just for me. For all of us. I called in favors. Brought a bunch of smugglers to a space not far from Warren Station. And worse, I called in a few other Wookiee refugees, too. Ones I knew would want to scrap with the Empire. Ones who would want to go home. We all got in one place. Half a dozen ships of people willing to work for me. And okay, yeah. Maybe I promised them a pardon. Even though I didn't know if I could make that magic happen. I mean, I'm no Jedi. I can't just wiggle my pinky and make someone dance. But there we all were. I sent Chewie to board a gunship captained by this Wookiee pirate, Karatha. Next thing I know, we're blown. Two Star Destroyers, plus a swarm of Imperial Starfighters. They're all over us, cutting us apart. They shot out Karatha's engines, hobbling her on the spot, with Chewie still on board. Some ships they wiped off the map. Others they nabbed with tractor beam. And I beat Stardust and got the hell out of there. I didn't know what else to do. I thought that my best bet at getting Chewie and the others back would be from inside the cockpit of the Falcon, and not stuck in some cell on board a Star Destroyer. But now I know. I was a coward. I should have sucked it up. Found a way out from on board. I didn't share the burden like I was supposed to. And now Chewie's out there shouldering it all on his own. Ever since, I've been tearing up the galaxy looking for him. Every two-bit Imperial officer I could find told me what I wanted to know, or got his teeth knocked out of his head. Finally, I figured out where they took him. They took him back to Kashyyyk. They took him home.
His eyes shine. His lip purses and twitches even as he fidgets and scratches at his beard. It's then that Jazz gets it. Solo is angry, but he's angry with himself. So why Golos Aram? Nora asks. Why are you out here?
The smuggler hesitates. He's still not sure if he can trust them, maybe. Jazz gets it. Trust is hard. It feels like falling. Finally, Solo says,
Story goes, Chewie found himself on board a prison transport. A ship bound for a place called Ashmead's Lock. A prison on the far side of Kashyyyk. Don't know much about it except who built it.
Golos Aram, Jazz says.
Right. I've been watching him. Then you bunch come along, damn near mucking everything up. If I hadn't summoned that herd of Morak, you would have fired that tracking bug on his house. But Golos? He's paranoid. Real paranoid. He does routine sweeps. He'd have found that bug before nightfall and sent out tracker droids to hunt you, and by proxy, me, down.
He kicks his chair out and stands up, arms out.
So you found me. Great. Now go away. Tell Leia... Well, tell her what you want. But I can't have her thinking she needs to fix this. I can't have her in danger. Just tell her I'm okay and I'll be home soon.
When?
Nora asks.
Just tell her I'll be home on time.
With that, Solo pushes past them and heads out of the junk alcove.
Well,
Sinjir says,
that solves that. Time to celebrate.
He blasts the glass of Korva down his throat
and has a small spasm as it hits him. He coughs so hard, he has to wipe his watering eyes. This stuff is uniformly terrible. It may...
He irps.
It may be poison.
The rest of them sit quietly, unsure what to do. Nora says finally,
I think we need to... From close by, the sudden sounds of a scuffle arise.
The noise is short, a cry of alarm, a hard thwack, and a subsequent thud.
They rush out of the alcove. Just around the corner, near the Korva still, lies a body. Han Solo's body. Mr. Bones stands astride the smuggler's supine form.
I subdued the target with violence,
the battle droid chirps, his words punctuated by bursts of sharp static.
Mission accomplished! Victory for all!